Welcome to the Married Man Show with Married Man Jack, Married Man Jay, and soon to be married engaged man Brian. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Brian, our fourth and final guest host for the Married Man Show as we round out finish up season eight
on this Married Man Show.
Welcome, Brian.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. And maybe possibly like the least known out of the four guest hosts in terms of like the Jane Jack podcasting community. but you're a dear friend to me. But why don't you let people or at
this
least
is have... this is so typical. This is so typical of Jay, because one of my favorite stories is that I used to do a podcast a long time ago called Fanboy Remix. And this is around the time you were doing The Lost Show.
Yep.
And you know, we'd asked you for a plug, and you basically said something to the degree of, "Yeah, you know, they have this show, and you know, it's okay. Like, I mean, if you're not doing anything, and you know, you're bored, I guess you could maybe download it or something. I don't know." And so you just intro me as the least known, you know, like people who if you've never heard of this guy because he doesn't really do anything, but
you know
I guess
you know that guy Brian, yeah.
There was a question in there somewhere, and I glossed
just,
over it. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, so I guess maybe a little get to know you. Like, people that maybe have never heard you on one of your podcasts before, maybe get to know Brian Verderosa.
Well, that's the joke that Bobby Short, our mutual friend of ours, have, who runs Talking Comics podcast and website, talkingcomicbooks.com. The joke is that I only want to do unsuccessful podcasts because we did a show that Fanboy Remix for 3 years and it didn't really ever take off or anything. And then we did a show called Doctor Who Cast, which was fun and got a little bit of ground. And then I wound up leaving that. And then we started Talking Comics together. And I bailed after like 5 weeks, and then I did a spinoff called Talking Movies, and I do that to this day. It's been about 2 years, and it's talkingmoviespodcast.com. But we are really we're not a sister show. We're more like a you know step cousin, maybe that you see it like you know once a year at family gatherings. yeah, we do a movie show. My friends Nick and Chris, but. Believe it, yeah, I've been doing this in some capacity for like the last, I don't know, 7 years. That's crazy.
Well, I would say your podcasting career is similar to your dating career in that you start a lot of things and then kind of just they fizzle
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah. Guest stars here and there, you know, some things just don't work out. As Jack said at the top of the show, I am engaged.
You are, yes.
Yeah, 6 months away, in fact.
Six months.
From the big day, yeah.
So you came on here for us Hoodlally. To talk you out of it?
I mean, look, I'm open to any option at this point. If you told me there was a wall I could run through that would give me like a you know cut out of me, I'd listen to you.
Is it starting to get too real now? Is that the worry?
No, it's more that it's not real enough. Where okay. You know the way I feel now, 6 months out, is pretty much how I felt 10 months out. Pretty much how I felt 15 months out, mm-hmm. And that's that we kind of have. Our shit on lock. Are we cool for
yes,
cursing?
Yes, Mary Lynn, you can okay. curse.
You can say whatever you want.
All right. You know, we have things on lock, and I'm more that fear of not being scared, where okay. I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. I don't know what everyone's you know getting crazy about. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And those things will come. It'll be like, why don't we have stamps? We need stamps. You know, it's like those little things that I'm sure are going to creep up.
Well, I will say you have might be my favorite save the date ever in the history.
Oh, really?
Of
okay.
Do you want to describe what your save the date is for the people at home?
Yeah, my fiance's name is Courtney, and we also hate the term fiance. We don't like it.
What do you refer to each other as?
Girlfriend, boyfriend, and then we're just going to jump to husband, wife.
Oh, so no transitionary title.
Yeah, you know, no, because there's an air of like. I don't want to say superiority, maybe like assholiness. Like by saying fiance, it's like, oh, by the way, I'm totally going to be married soon. Not yet, but soon. I don't know when, maybe soon. Who knows? You don't know. Are you going to ask? I don't know. Are you going to ask? Who cares? You know, and that like, I don't know. It just, it rubs me the wrong way and does her as well. So we both want to just skip a grade.
You know, some people do. They get mad though if you like, hey, how's your girlfriend doing? You mean my fiance?
Oh, and it's funny. That's come up. That's come up with like some tertiary friends where I'll, you know, refer to her as a girlfriend. And they're like, aren't you engaged? I'm like, yeah, but oh, she wouldn't like that very much. And I just whip out my phone and I text her and I go, how do you feel about the word fiance? Wait 5 seconds, show them the answer. Lawyered. It's great.
Well, because it could be a situation where she just really loves you and she's just kind of going along for the ride, but you're saying she's a driving force here.
She would definitely tell me, she does not pull punches. kind of like your wife.
Yeah.
My wife does. We should say that, Jay's wife, Colleen, I've known for, I guess we're talking about 20 years now, since middle school.
Yeah. Long time.
And I was, and we didn't get close until probably, mid to late high school, I'd say. But she was one of the few people who I really made it a point to visit and keep in touch with once we all went our separate ways college wise. Mm-hmm. So I probably visited her alma mater, a half dozen times, 8 times in the 4 years I was, at school. So, good times. And she was a very important person to me. And then, you came along and actually made her happy. So, go figure.
So were you proverbially stuck in the proverbial friend zone? Is that what we're saying here?
First of all, I'm not sure how much Jezebel you read, but like there is no such thing as a friend zone. And it was never that. Like we were so much just friends. Mm. And I get asked this question sometimes about, friend circles growing up, and we were not incestuous at all. Like people did not date. That happens, right? Like people have, a core group of like a dozen, and like there's relationships going back and forth, and like, oh, you were with him before or this or that. That didn't happen with us. Probably because the majority of the friends group was very academically oriented. Mm-hmm. And didn't have a lot of time for that stuff. But
we weren't basically.
Yeah, we were. We didn't drink. We didn't party. We hung out, but we didn't, have that movie high school experience at all.
Time out. You hung out with Colleen?
Yeah.
And there was no drinking?
Again, I'm talking about high school.
Okay, all right.
College, all bets are off.
pretty much, yeah.
But it's kind of cool because it's the same group of friends, or few friends that kind of still hang out and still see each other. I mean, again, people's lives kind of separate and drift apart, but it's that kind of core group of friends that still, stays in touch and cares very deeply about each other. It's very cool, your guys' friendships that you have.
Colleen just texted me.
Oh, what did she say?
You guys better not say anything to embarrass me, LOL. it was to me and you, Jay. So,
it was to me? What do I got? I got nothing. You got all the high school stories. I don't have.
There aren't any. There really aren't any.
So that's
how I know Colleen. And then, it was right after you and she started dating that I met you. Mm-hmm. In one of my favorite stories, which is I came up to her Astoria, Queens apartment. I had just gotten on a big Ryan Adams kick. I'd bought a few records, and I walk up there, and there you were in some skinny jeans with, anime hair. And I didn't even say hi. I just said, do me a favor. Can you put your hand on your leg and like put your head down, kind of like pose like this? And you just did it. And I held up the copy of Ryan Adams Gold, which if you're at home, not driving, if you're at home, look that up right now. Ryan Adams, the record's called Gold. That's Jay Glatfelter circa 2006.
Before the dad bod started to settle in.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was, you're a one-of-a-kind individual, and it was friendship at first sight when I met you, sir. So very excited to have you on the show.
Very excited to be here. Thank you.
Yes, and again, having your perspectives, I think, for me, my dating history, serious dating history is Colleen. That's it. That's all I've got. So, my perspective comes from that.
That's all I got.
It's not like I didn't date other people, but the first person I fell in love with was Colleen, and that's who I married. So
there you go.
What was your longest relationship outside, before Colleen?
I had one of those on again, off again kind of things for since I like 3 or 4 years.
Okay, but not the through line. Like not,
it wasn't. It wasn't like through the whole thing. And we just it was just one. You know, ever had those relationships where it's just kind of like you, it's your default back to if you have nothing better going on. It was kind
of
like
did one of those for 2.5 years. Yes, I know.
So it was like if we didn't have anything better going on, that was kind of the relationship that we were in at that time. But yeah. So I guess that would technically be the longest one.
Okay. Hey, your 5 years coming up.
Yeah, 5 year wedding anniversary. Yeah.
I can't believe it's been 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. Jack, you have how many years now? 27.
Yeah, 27. 27.
Yeah.
26? Well, how old's your sister?
How do you not know?
20. You get older, you forget. Age doesn't mean anything anymore.
89 to 27.
27. So she had 27 years.
Yeah. Man.
27 years and 9 months, obviously.
Yeah.
Not quite. No.
Sure, we can say 9 months.
Sure.
Oh man,
7 months. She was born premature.
So, tell us about your girlfriend who will eventually be your wife.
Yes, no, we can say fiance on the show. I'm just saying I don't typically.
Well, no, I don't want to upset your future wife.
No.
But tell us about like how did you guys meet? Like, what's your story?
All right, it's again one of those sliding doors moments where I think about a lot, just like you know, right place, right time. Before I tell the story, I guess it should be known. I'm a numbers guy.
Okay.
In the sense that law of averages, right? Like the more people you talk to, the more relationships you'll forge. And that goes, you know, that was true of my dating life, you know? So what I lack in good looks, I make up for in confidence. I'm not trying to tell people to do this. It's a terrible idea. But you know, I just talk to people. So there's probably too much information here. And
oh,
anyone share. Knows
this
me,
is a, it's,
no,
listening.
No. So I was living on a college campus when I was 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I was kind of going back to school and I figured out a way to like live and eat for free while I was doing that. And they plugged me in with a couple of 20-year-old roommate or suite mates.
Okay.
And, you know, one kid kept to himself, really quiet, probably killed a lot of people. And the other guy was this, like, raging partier who just didn't know how to do it right. You know, he was just doing everything wrong. So one night I decide I'm going to take him under my wing and I'm going to take him out. And I'm going to go to the place where I know he won't be carded. And I'm like, look, if you want to do this, you're going to do this the right way. Follow my lead. Mm-hmm. So
you're his Yoda to his Luke,
in a way. Sure. Yeah. So I went to a local haunt, and this was in January of 2012. And you know, a place that I would definitely call my bar. Mm-hmm. And it was
do you have your
chilly,
own spot, you know? At the bar, like it's like a norm from Cheers.
No, not quite, but you know, definitely was a regular more family than anything else. Like when people quit on this guy, which happened often because he's a terrible businessman, you know, I'd come up and help him and stuff like that. So I knew the place pretty well. And there's this woman outside talking to a friend, and never saw her before. I thought she was pretty beautiful, and I wanted to say something to her. And then I heard her say something. Again, this is January of 12, so we're still a year away from this, but she's talking about the movie of Les Miserables.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I had to say something like, Russell Crowe is terrible casting. I had the premonition. I knew a year away how bad that was going to be. And
what
so
are you
we're
talking
about?
Russell Crowe has a great, great singing voice.
Oh, you poor.
I never saw it.
It's good you never saw it because his singing is pretty bad. I felt bad for Russell Crowe.
Did you see Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia?
I did not.
Okay. Yeah, it's bad. So we're talking, and you know, it's only been maybe like 15 minutes, and I have to go, and I got to take this kid back, and
you have to like or like you said to leave. Was it like a bathroom situation?
No, I had to leave. I had to leave. I bit the bullet and said, you know, it's only been 15 minutes, but what the hell? Why not? Like, and I asked her for a number,
mm-hmm.
and she gave it to me. And you know, the next night, the next morning, I was going through my phone. I'm like, oh, that's right. I met Courtney last night. So, like, you know, it was kind of a couple texts. We set up a first date and then went on a second date. And then the third date, the third day, I'll never forget. She responded to me like, look, I just need a night off, okay? Like, we can talk tomorrow. And no, real talk. Here's the story, is that I'd come over to her place. I come upstairs on the second night, and no funny business, but I'd come upstairs. Mm-hmm. The rank stench of my feet was enough to make her not want to see me again.
Wow.
But wait, you took
off your shoes, or were your feet that bad smelling that it seeped through your shoes?
Oh, I'd taken off my shoes.
Oh. You're Frank Costanza.
So, yeah. So she had to have like a come to Jesus conversation with her best female friend, who told her, listen, all boys are gross. Just figure out how to see him again. And, you know, maybe tell him, mm-hmm. you know, and so she worked up the courage, and we had a fourth date or a third date on the fourth day. Mm-hmm. Kind of came to the conclusion I didn't want to see anybody else. And the rest is history.
Wow. That's pretty good. So did she show up?
Did you ever wash? Wait, hold on a second. Did you ever wash your feet, or is that still a problem?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, I probably shouldn't have been wearing socks 2 days in a row. Did I mention I was living on a college campus? So, well, I'm not proud of any of this. It's just the truth.
Well, hold on. All the best men have a great woman behind them. Is Courtney now at least helped change your lifestyle to where you don't wear the same pair of socks 2 days in a row?
She has. She has. A lot of things have changed. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, you know, it's a two-way street, right? I mean, mm-hmm. like guys who I don't want to say like whipped. I don't want to say like pushover, but you know, mm-hmm. people who change and are unfair about those changes, where they let someone walk over them or become a different person because someone else wants them to be, or mm-hmm. this or that. Like, that's not what this has been. Like, I used to ask for the Best Buy ad every Sunday with the paper, and I'd look at the things I can't afford to buy. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh, great, Blu-rays that I don't need. And now I want to look at the Home Depot ad. You know, like, I, you know, just home projects and kind of making things cooler and better for everyday quality of life has been more what I've been interested in. Mm-hmm. And I would never have thought that. Like, again, like putting up a fence, putting in laminate flooring, things I would like be like, all right, well, who do we pay to do this? So I'm not doing it. You know, they've just become things I've become interested in, and I would not have, I would never have come to that place if it weren't for her.
Do you have, like, you know, the sweater tied around your neck with the polo shirt and like the hair, you know, slinked to the side?
Look, I think we're getting too personal.
You know, the only problem with those going to Home Depot and stuff like that. I was talking to someone today about it. Those home improvement shows have ruined it for guys. Because it never ends. Literally,
I mean,
it's just, I'm just going, we've been here 14 years, and I'm just it feel like I'm just going in a circle. I go from one room to this room. I finally told her the other day, can we finish a room? Can we just finish one room first? No.
No.
Because she'll see something, she'll see Property Brothers, and oh, look at what they're doing. I go, they have a team of 100 men behind this. I go, you have a team of one.
Do you think you could call the cable company and just get one channel removed? would that be possible? I don't know.
Well, we did cut back on our cable bill. We lost do-it-yourself network, so that's one down.
But really, all you need is HGTV, man. That's all the best shows.
Well, she was upset by that, but it's part of the deal.
So you're talking about home improvement. Do you guys have your own home? Is that like or?
Yeah. Basically, we were living in this studio apartment for the better part of a year. And again, she likes to say that I've been living with her since the second date, which we were just talking about a few minutes ago. Because as a grown-ass woman, she's not going to go to a university and sleep in a dorm. Mm-hmm. You know, she's like, if you want to come over, you can come over. So most nights I would be at her place. And so she felt like we've been kind of living together since then. And then... about a year in, it was just like, the space is not conducive to two people being here. Mm-hmm. And we got to figure out something better. But rent was just stupid everywhere. Like, it didn't make any sense. So yeah. She looked into
a
house.
In Connecticut, right?
Yeah, Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay.
So she wound up buying a house. And, you know, she this is going to sound so unromantic, but she's like, I'm buying this house and I can afford to buy this house. So if you get hit by a bus, I'll be okay.
Man.
It's not untrue. But that, I mean, and she's always been very.
So you're right. You know where you stand.
Yeah. She's always been very independent. And there was, you know, it just made more fiscal sense to, you know, be putting money into a mortgage rather than pissing away on rent. And,
exactly.
And yeah, a lot of positive changes happened around that time. You know, I'd gotten a new job, and I now have a new job. But everything.
Yeah. Guest host of the Merry Man Show.
Yes, obviously. Which by the way, for anyone who's aspiring to do that, it pays like shit.
Hey, but the chicks are free.
Right, and by that you mean YouTube videos of young chickens that people will send to you, and that's all.
Anyway.
What do you get, like, unsolicited nudes from listeners? Like, oh, Jay! You're on the Married Man Show. Don't tell Courtney. Wait, no, Colleen, that's your worst.
No. My one person that listened to the podcast, I ended up married. So,
fair enough.
Anyway,
so, no, but what would you do if you got a picture of a woman who wrote, like, you know, I love Jay and Jack on her chest and sent it to your Twitter or something like that? Would you be like, honey, oh my God, look at this?
Hell yeah.
Right. I mean, that would be my first – that would be my gut instinct.
Yeah.
It's like, look how crazy the internet is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Colleen, she doesn't really give two craps if, you know, I look at another woman or whatever. I mean, you were at my bachelor party, right? Yeah, you were there.
Yes. Oh, my God, that night. Jesus. Cliff and the goddamn hot dog.
Oh, my God, yeah. Have we told the Cliff and the hot dog story? I think Boston told it from his perspective.
I think so. I've heard the hot dog story.
Maybe share it from your perspective, Brian, because you were there too.
It's been a while.
It was just that this was a long day. And I'm not going to tell the whole story. Just that, you know, we had gallivanted on a, what was it, probably an hour and a half limo ride to the strip club.
Yeah. Well, because it was a multi-state journey.
Right. Stage one, ferry from Long Island to Connecticut. You know, like moderate pre-gaming. Just hey, we're all happy to be here.
Yeah.
Drive. Then we go to the hotel. Mm-hmm. We kind of get settled. You know, a little bit of a lull, and then we head out to the casino. We had like 4 hours at the casino or something like that, and then we were heading in a limo over to Rhode Island to a, you know, locally famous nudie bar. And the driver, who was paid American dollars to take us there, was like, how do you get there? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you have, like, don't you have a GPS? Yeah, I don't have a GPS. Well,
that's,
do you have
I forgot driver? About that.
We gave it to you. So, oh, God. And we know we'd loaded. I don't know if it was Boston who was in charge of this, but, like, you know, a lot of dudes in the limo, like, we'd put a bunch of booze in the trunk. And, you know, we get to the place and, oh, God, we had to shove one person into – do you remember the Joe story?
Oh, yeah.
We had one guy who got – I died. Remember that I died? All right, so we're at the casino for this whole time, and I start getting this amazingly horrible headache, mm-hmm. and I can't shake it. And, like, it's basically that, like, pre-hangover hangover. It's already happening. And I had been pacing myself with booze and water and just trying to do the right thing. But I'm a sprinter. I'm not built. I don't run marathons. So, you know, this hour and a half trip there, I'm just dying. And, like, I think I had, like, a sip of a beer on the way. And we get there, and I'm like, I'm just going to stay in the limo. Like, I can't do this. And I think I just maybe 15 minutes later, I walked in. Like, I'm going to get some air. I'm going to, you know, say hi to the guys, and maybe I'll just come back out. And I switch got flipped. I got better.
Was it the boobies?
No. I think I did like a ginger ale or something like that, and then was able to go back to beer and be fine. Mm-hmm. So our friend Joe, he does a thing where he gets blackout drunk every time he wakes up, and he started waving his dick at other patrons outside of the bar, and I had to literally throw him into the limo to de-escalate a situation.
Well, he was getting in a fight, right?
Yeah. I have no idea over what. Probably nothing. So now we're leaving, and I don't know. I want to say it's probably 1:30 when we're leaving. The driver takes literally double the time to get us back. It took about 3 hours. And again, I'm not blaming Skypec here, but there was no more booze. Somehow we'd only packed enough for the trip there. So I felt like we were like stranded in the desert.
I forgot how shitty that drive was back.
It was real bad. And and did I buy the gallon of like grape juice?
It was like a
makeshift pee bucket. That like I think
and Chris Kolk had to use it.
Yes, he did. He did. And he's one of the heroes of the story because he stayed up with me until like 6 a.m. But we get back, we finally get back, and it's like, again, 4 a.m. or something like that, 4:30 when we get back to the hotel. And like, there's booze at the hotel. We just only brought some of it on the road. And there's a 7-Eleven like within walking distance. And Cliff's like, I'm going to go to 7-Eleven. Like, awesome. Get some hot dogs, get some, you know, this and that. And Cliff comes back, you know, and it's like a handful of us in the room. And like, we saw him like walking from upstairs, like, oh, he's coming back. And he gets to the room and he's just smiling and joyful and eating one hot dog. He bought one hot dog for the people. And like, again, he didn't even think that we were asking him to get us, you know, sustenance. And oh my God, we yelled at him so bad. Oh, and then there was a bachelorette across the way.
There was, yes, there's a bachelorette party, yeah.
And we were trying to, like, you know, merge the parties.
Yep.
Or by we, I mean me. And I was definitely single at the time, I think.
I was technically not married at the time, but...
No, that's correct. And, oh, man, yeah, it was a night. It was a good night.
Actually, and then the cops came in, right? We almost got kicked out of the hotel because of that part, right?
Oh, my God, that's right. Oh,
it was a good time either way. If the cops are being called to kick you out of the hotel, you ain't doing it right.
Exactly.
I like that Cliff only brought one hot dog though. That's classic.
Oh my god.
Like and the thing is, if that guy fucking cures cancer, he's still gonna be the guy who only brought one hot dog. You know, like he'll be on stage getting a Nobel Prize, but you know what he did once.
But it's a classic Cliff, you know, especially just the journey to come back. We're all starving. But it's, you know, like too, like when you're drinking, you just want like just some crappy food just to,
of course,
to absorb it up. It didn't work out so well. I think a few of us, I don't know if you went back to the casino, but then we went and gambled some more until like whenever. And then
oh, God, hell to the no. You know, Colk and I did a power hour.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Which seemed like a good idea at the time. I'm just going to say that. And Chris, if you're listening, I miss you, buddy.
He's going to be at the our marathon charity podcast in 2 weeks.
Oh, is he coming out?
He's coming out with Rob Francescanini.
Tell me what that's all about.
Every year for the past almost 10 years now, we do a charity podcast-a-thon. So we first started as like 12 hours, and then we did like 30 hours, and then like 36 hours.
First time was 24 hours.
24 hours.
Because it all started because we were, I think it was a Married Men show.
I think so.
Someone was commenting how long they went, so I said, you know what, screw it. We'll just go 24 hours and not stop talking. So they challenged us. I said, all right, we'll do it. I said, we're going to do it. Might as well do it for a charity. So then finish story, Jay.
No, yeah. So we did that first year. We came up an hour short because the program we're using, TalkShoe, crapped out.
Daniel Day Kim.
Yeah, Daniel Day Kim was going to be our last person on the show.
Oh no!
And it crapped out, and we're like talking to Daniel, like, "I'm sorry." And this is the first time we get to talk.
We're talking through MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace. Yeah, that's right. It was
messaging back and forth on MySpace.
Give you a context of time, but yeah, so it crapped out. But every year since, we've done some type of long podcast, and we've shortened it in recent years because we're older and it's not as easy. So we do a 12-hour podcast-a-thon on the Saturday, and then on Sunday we're doing a live viewing party for Game of Thrones, and then we're doing a live Game of Thrones podcast after that. So
this is on the 23rd. This is coming up.
Yeah, coming up two weekends from now. Yeah, 2 weekends.
Very cool.
Yeah, so exciting stuff. So usually a bunch of people come out and have fun and have a good time. So you are more than welcome to make the trek from Hartford, Connecticut to down here. I'm sure. Oof. Colleen, Raleigh, would love to see you.
Raleigh is a lot of fun.
I know, and I was supposed to be there on April 1st.
I know, we had everything ready, and you...
I'm so sorry.
If you also don't know anything about Brian, he's really good at flaking. Like, he's like...
What?
You might as well call him Frosty Flakes.
Name one other time. Please, well, please don't name another time.
Well, last week I was sitting here for a half hour. Jay didn't tell me you were at a concert. I'm sitting there. And go, when are
that's
we starting?
That's my fault. That one's on me.
That's on Jay. But he goes, oh, I go, okay. Thanks.
Well, because you went to see one of your, I think it's probably your favorite band of all time, or one of them at least, Smashing Pumpkins, right?
Oh, you went.
No, you went. I didn't go. Wasn't that the show you were going to?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Jack's saying that I wasn't available Monday because I was going to show. Yes.
No. Yes.
Jay told me. Jay told me Monday. So Monday night at 8 o'clock, I come set up. I'm waiting. I think 8:25, I finally go, what's the deal? Are we going? Jay goes, oh, Brian had to go to a concert.
And forgot to tell you.
I said, thanks for the heads up there, Jay.
My bad. I think I was.
I'm used.
I don't know what I was doing. I was doing something because I completely forgot about it.
Yes, they are my favorite band, and it was the 10th time I've seen them, and arguably the best. So I'm sorry to have let you hang in for 25 minutes, but it was worth it for me.
That's okay. As long as you had a good time, that's all that matters.
Thank you.
Oh, man. So wedding is only a few months away.
I think six is a little bit more than a few, but sure. I'm going to snap my fingers.
That's pretty much. That's like...
That's half a year. So
it's also the marker of like fucking around time's over. Like you can't be like, well, what if we wanted to do it in a different place? Nope. you're locked in. Like it's this train is a rolling.
Mm-hmm. What are your greatest fears post marriage? So everybody kind of has these like preconceived notions. Oh, once you're married, we're never gonna have sex again. All that.
Sure.
So what's your worst fears like post marriage for you?
Oh, see, that's easy. We don't have sex now, so it's fine.
So you're ready now.
Yeah. Oh, I think the training wheels are off. I don't know that I have any fears. This is a silly one. I'm a little excited for it. My wedding band comes in the mail tomorrow.
Oh.
And I'm fearful of A, losing it, not because it's not very expensive, but like, and B, like I've never worn a ring, so I'm sure that like it's gonna be weird for a week,
it takes a while to get used to.
So again, that's a very minor fear.
I'll respond to that one. I never wore a ring either.
But you take yours off all the time.
I do. I can't stand it still to this day.
Mine's on all the time, except for one time it separated.
But
it wore out. The bottom wore out, so I didn't have a ring for a year.
So like, maybe take your wallet out of your pocket and set it down or something. If I'm sitting down, if I'm like in a stationary position, the ring is off and sitting on the desk. Or,
okay,
I don't get that though.
Since I'm talking to dudes, mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to back me up on this because it's definitely. Okay. The ravings of a madman. Okay. But you gotta know, my parents, I'm sure they had wedding rings at some point. I think my mother lost hers, or my father lost his. Like, they don't, my whole life, I never knew them to be people who wore rings. They also were married for 10 years before they had me, and I'm the only child.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and it was just, you know, going out in my early mid 20s, didn't think to look for a ring on a woman's hand. And
I'm sure that went
now,
well.
No, that's fine. So, but here's where I start to become like, I thought an engagement ring was a thing that you buy, that you give to a lady, and she wears it while she's engaged. Then, when you're married, you wear a wedding band. I'm learning now, and Courtney calls me an idiot, that you wear both the engagement ring and the wedding ring for the rest of your life.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought that was pretty. I think that one's a fairly well-known
I mean, is it movies and TV where like
I'm with you. I didn't know all that crap.
But why buy like a ring that costs thousands of dollars?
Because people are idiots. Like, it's a racket. Of course, I mean that's the thing.
It's all a scam.
Well, again, Jay, like I'm just gonna make numbers up, but like, why spend $3,000 in my stupid brain? Remember, mm-hmm. Of course you'd spend $3,000 on something that gets worn for 6 to 18 months when you're going to spend $20,000 to $40,000 on a thing that happens for one day. You know, that's just
okay. That makes sense in the relation of the party and how much
again,
that costs.
I can't go back in time, but if I'd seen my mother wearing an engagement ring with a wedding band my whole life, I would not have leapt to that conclusion. But she looked at me like I was insane when I said that. I'm like, wait, you? What do you mean you're going to wear you're wearing them both? Like, I thought you just do the one.
If I'd known this was the thing I had to look at for the rest of my life, I would have made a more informed choice. But yeah, for me, like, I still can't stand wearing the wedding ring. Colleen loves hers, and she wants a 10-year anniversary ring, so I got to figure out that whenever I have 5 more years to figure out that one.
Yeah, but mine's never off.
So Brian, you play guitar. I play guitar. It's just, for me,
that's a fear. That's a fear that's going to be weird.
It's just uncomfortable. I have kind of short, stubby fingers, so it's just I don't like it. It's not my thing.
You have like Jeremy Renner sausage fingers.
They're more like. I have really big knuckles from playing guitar for so long. They're just kind of like fat, thick, bulgy knuckles.
Okay.
So it's just it's not very comfortable to wear a ring for that long. But you know, I wear it when I'm out and about to make sure I show that, hey, ladies, I'm taken. You can't.
Well,
you can't
yours
this.
Probably has like a chip on it, a little sensor, tracking device.
I lost it for a little while. Actually, if you look at pictures at. Caitlin's wedding, I do not have the wedding ring on because I lost it for a period of time.
Because you're always putting it down.
Because I don't like to wear it. I wish I didn't have to wear it.
You've left it here. I
know.
I look at you and go, why is it that you think you're going to hurt yourself moving the mic? Is it going to get caught in the microphone?
No, it's uncomfortable. I don't like it.
I'd been married
after a while wearing it.
I think I've been married like 2 weeks and I was playing softball and I slid head first. And I jammed my ring finger, and it swelled up to the point where they thought they're going to have to cut the ring off so I wouldn't have to lose my finger. Well, luckily, lots of ice brought the swelling down. After that, people said, "Hey, if you're going to play, you can't wear your ring. You can't wear your ring." Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, if you want me to play, I have to wear the ring."
Well, what I've looked into, because they have these kind of workers' rings, which are kind of like rubber rings, essentially. So they're more breathable and movable. So.
What about just tattooing a ring on?
But then it's like there forever, and it's
that's
it's,
the idea. That's how it's supposed to be, Jay.
You're not planning on being married forever.
I am, exactly. But I don't want to. I don't want like a weird like black ring on my finger forever.
I don't want my love or anything like that. I don't want people to know that I love my wife. And that's
can
like,
I have
do.
It? Can I have it? Can I have it tattooed on my ass? I'm married.
This ass is taken.
All right, I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I have a story about the engagement ring.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it's a secret story.
Oh.
It's a story that I think only like 2 or 3 people know the real story of.
Oh.
And I don't know who in my close circle will listen to this. It'll be out there in the world. I'll own up to it. But we got engaged a little under a year ago.
Okay.
And there's a narrative that we tell people. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you that first.
Okay.
Okay. So we were our birthdays are one day apart. Mm-hmm. She's May 26th. I'm May 27th. And we had
I knew yours was May 27th, by the way, just in my head.
What? Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So we planned this trip to go down to Florida for our birthdays, and it was kind of really well engineered. Where we were spending the first leg with some of her friends. Last day was going to be her birthday. Then spending the second leg with some of my friends. First day, my birthday, right?
Also, another one of the times you flaked, you were supposed to hang out with us too, I think, during that trip. But go ahead, continue.
Is that true? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's true.
You sound like a friend I had growing up. He was this guy. His name was Dave. Jay knows him, and he would go, "Hey, you want to go to like the Clipper game?" Sure. I'd go drive down from my house to his house, which is about 15 minutes. I get there and he'd be gone. I go, "What happened?" He goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "Remember, I called you, said let's go to the Clipper game."
Brian's not that bad, but it's always like a trip. It's like, "Hey, I'm going to come see you guys," and then flakes out. Continue. Sorry.
Roll back. Was I supposed to see you in Florida in May of last year?
No, you were going
to
like, because were you driving down? And you're going to like stop like by us and see us, and then continue going or coming back?
Oh yeah,
like that.
I have lofty goals, and they don't always get realized. I'm sorry. So
I meant to do it.
So basically, we do the first leg of the trip, then we go to my friend's places, which is in St. Augustine, Florida. I ask her to go for a walk, and we go out to this little like dock, and it's a little lake, and it's very nice. And I asked her to marry me, and she said yes, and it was a great moment. Now, what I just told you is true. That all happened.
Okay.
But there's a bunch of things that happened before that nobody knows about. So remember, I've already established that I'm very stupid when it comes to a lot of these things, right? Mm-hmm. Like just. The way the world works as far as weddings and women and culture and everything. I don't even know how I've gone this long without accidentally killing myself. So I come home one night and I found on the iPad she'd been looking at rings on this website. And I look and I go, "Oh, she likes that one, huh? That is very reasonable as far as a price. That's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. I can do this. I've been thinking about it for a while, but I had no idea how I was going to, you know, do it reasonably relatively short period of time. I had wanted to do it last year. I just didn't know how I was going to do it. And I see this price. I'm like, all right, I can make that happen. So a couple months go by. I buy the ring and I get it delivered like maybe a week before we were heading out on the trip. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, it looks great. I'm so excited. Okay. I showed it to a couple friends, all guys. They agreed. We're on the first full day of this trip. Like, we'd driven down. It's our first day. And our friends we were staying with, her friends we were staying with, we ran out to run an errand. And I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't think of, like, I'm not going to do it on her birthday. I'm not going to do it on my birthday. I can't wait 6 more days. This thing's sitting in my guitar case. What am I going to do? So I take out the ring. I hide it in my hand, and we're in her friend's kitchen. I can't believe I'm telling this right now. And she looks at me. I look at her, and I said something saccharine, and I took out the ring. I said, "Will you marry me?" And she goes, like, white-faced, like cartoon character eyeballs, and goes, "Are you serious? Is this real?" And I thought in that moment that she meant the proposal. When I learned later, she meant the ring, because the ring goes on her finger, right? And it doesn't quite fit. I'd done my best sleuthing to figure out her ring size, and I'd failed. And she's like, "Okay, listen, we're not going to announce this. Like, my friend's going to be mortified if she finds it, because she's such a romantic. If you asked me to marry me in her kitchen, but if you, let's see if we can get it resized, and then we can maybe announce it." I'm like, "All right, but this is on literally Memorial Day, like on a Monday." So I find a place that's open, and we run down there, and they're like, "We can do it for you like in real time." I'm like, "This is excellent." So I go in the place, I hand them the ring, and they come back 5 minutes later and go, "We can't resize this for you." And I go, "Why not?" "Because it's not a real diamond. And if we break it, then we can't replace it."
Oh, man.
And she's with me. She's
with
me.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Absolutely.
So you got a cubic zirconia ring?
Yep. And here we go. You ready? So guys listening, do not get swindled by the hoot nanny that is diamondnexus.com. So I, my heart sinks like this so bad. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to retool the whole plan. Obviously the cat's out of the bag, you know, what are we going to do? So we spend the next few days at her place. I'm sorry, her friend's place. And again, I don't have a plan. On my birthday, when we were leaving her friend's place, we had a little bit of time to kill before going to my friend's. So we went to a Jared. And those motherfuckers are so desperate to sell rings, they gave me a line of credit, which no human should do. And she picked out – we actually didn't go the diamond route. She wanted a 2-carat white sapphire. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like a rock of the, you know, highest order, but – anyone who knows me knows there's no way that's a diamond. But passersby on the street could appreciate it. And so we bought the ring. We had to wait 2 days for it to get made and delivered and everything. And then we went to pick it up, and she didn't see it. She didn't see it until I showed it to her on that dock. But she knew about the engagement. She knew about the ring. She knew all these things. But we didn't tell anyone that. We just told them the sweet story of – yeah.
So where's the fake ring? Where is that one?
That got returned. It was great. It got returned. I got all my money back, and I put it towards the, you know, the real one. So
nice.
and that thing's paid off in 2 months. I'm very happy.
So we have a new segment on the Married Men: engagement disasters.
Yeah. And you know what? At the end of the day, I wouldn't. You know, every decision we make is together for the most part. So the fact that I got to make that one with her in the end is it speaks to our relationship.
Nice. Well, with Colleen's engagement ring,
I can't believe I just fucking told the whole world that.
That's not that bad. That's not that bad. So you bought a fake ring, diamond ring.
It happened.
So you made the investment online, sight unseen, and bought a fake ring. It happens.
That's really funny,
but you know, it's at least Courtney was, you know, able to laugh through it.
Oh yeah,
you know,
oh yeah,
that's what's important.
We knew.
Oh, she stayed with you.
Yeah, that's love. That's when you know it's real.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, that was Courtney 1. I'm with Courtney 2 now.
Oh, okay.
that was Courtney Prime. So,
well, very good. Very good. Well, it's good that it's going to be paid off before the wedding, because I think if you have a ring still with debts on it when you get married, I think it's bad luck, maybe, possibly. Which, okay. Actually, that's probably not the case at all. I'm sure there's a lot of rings that are still being paid off to this day. Because those things are crazy. I mean, the whole ring thing is crazy. It is high pressure.
The whole wedding thing is crazy.
But so the approach I took with Colleen was, I know she's very particular. So I said, just so you know, proposal, I'm not going to tell you when it's going to happen or whatever, but we're going to look at some rings, and you're going to pick out 5 that you would love if I got you. And but it's not going to happen for at least another year or so. So just.
And please keep it to 4 figures.
Yeah. I mean, I was a fairly poor soul at the time. So. She took pity on me and didn't go too crazy, but luckily Colleen's the smart one with the money in this relationship. It's gotta be something about guitarists. Is there's not very, you know, it's like buying crap they don't need all the time. Possibly.
Oh, I know.
Brian, some great stories there, and great kind of getting to know you in front of everybody listening to the show right now. And I think it's a great time to kind of bring up some of these calls that we have. So are you guys ready for our first phone call?
Ready.
I feel good.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Married Men. This is Greg calling from Massachusetts. Love the show. I was calling in because I just got done with work. It's 5:34 in the afternoon, and I am in my garage right now, and I am not getting out of my car, and I probably won't for another 5 minutes because I just get so fucking tired after work, and the last thing I want to do is deal with the kids and doing work at home. So I'm wondering, am I a bad guy for doing this? Have you guys ever been in this position where, you know, you're done with work, you come home, and you just need some time to unwind in the car alone before stepping in. My commute's about 25 minutes, so you would think I have time to unwind then, and I'm usually listening to podcasts, usually Jay and Jack. But that's not enough. I feel like I just need to chill out in the garage for a little while. And sometimes it'll be even more than 5 minutes, and I feel more and more guilty, but I just feel this just complete laziness and dread of stepping in there at home. I have two kids, one's 6, one's a year and a few months. I love them to death. But, yeah, just get that little bit of me time, I guess. Tell me what you guys think. Bye.
All right. Thank you for the call. So, thoughts here, gentlemen? I guess, Brian, no kids yet, but maybe it's still coming home. But
yeah, you want me to jump in first?
Yeah, you can kick it off here, and then we'll end with the married men,
sure.
Married with children men.
First of all, Greg, thanks for Massachusetts, represent New England. Got really scared when he said, I'm in my garage and I'm not getting out. I'm like, okay, we need to call somebody right
Turn
now.
Turn the engine off.
Yes, yes. And I get my gut is again, no kids, so hard to really empathize. But I have friends with kids, and I know, and I read a lot of advice columns and stuff like that. And one thing I've gleaned is take some time for yourself. Like, I mean, so to answer your question, I don't think in any world you're a bad person for taking 5 minutes of me time and just decompressing before you walk into a goddamn war zone. You know, I think there was a word that you used, which was like dreading. But then you said, you know, you love your kids to death. So like, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking a few minutes, of just, you know, deep breath time. You know, I mean, I'm sure you probably take 18 to 22 minute shits when you need three, you know, like, I mean, Roger Murtaugh, right? Lethal Weapon 2. Like he has the house to himself for the first time in longer than he can remember. And of course there's a goddamn bomb on it, you know, but, on the toilet, but, I can completely understand where you're coming from, and I don't think that there's any shame to be had in that. Like, and again, don't know you, don't know your family, but like, if your wife would be like, "The fuck are you doing in the garage? Get in here! Snap, snap! There's dishes to be done." Like, I would be scared. You know, I wouldn't want to be signing up for. I'm putting on the apron. You know, like, you know, put on the rubber gloves. But no, it doesn't strike me as all that odd. And I mean, yeah, hey, look, you got to take care of your family, but you got to take care of number one too. And that's, you know, personal time, me time, mental health, like all that stuff is important. If 5 minutes in your garage gives you a little bit more oomph, more power to you, I say.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I can actually absolutely sympathize with that. So for a while, I had the most amazing commute to work in the history of the world. I mean, I'm sure there's better ones, but I had a pretty awesome one. It took about 6 minutes to get to work and get home from work. And that was a drive, 6 minutes to and from work. So I was really close.
I have a counter to that when we're done.
Okay.
Just go ahead.
but it was awesome because I get to and from, be back home right away. The problem was is that the work was like customer facing, so I had to talk to people. My employees and then the customers all day long. And when you do that for 9 hours a day and you go straight home, you want like that kind of quiet time to self-reflect and almost like re-energize before you get back into it. And for a while when Zach was first born, I'd come straight home from work. It was difficult because I was still kind of just like quiet or looking at my phone or just kind of doing the things that I would usually do just to kind of chill out and unwind before I kind of re-engage and, you know, have a conversation with the wife, how was your day and stuff like that. But the problem was that, you know, now I have a kid at home and, you know, it's dinner time and, you know, you got to be present and all that kind of stuff. And kind of talking through it, realized that it was really, I didn't really actually have any decompression time from leaving work to coming home. So we kind of agreed upon, like, if you just need to take like 10 minutes or 15 minutes of just kind of like unwind, check Twitter, whatever you want to do. So that way when you do come home, you're present and you're there. Now I have a much longer commute, and honestly, it's nicer with. I have a 30-minute, sometimes 45-minute commute. It's kind of nice now because I can listen to a podcast, and it's kind of that time to decompress and separate that kind of journey from work to home. You said you have about 25-minute commute. It's almost like just not quite enough. But I think, one, I think it's having an open, honest conversation with your wife about kind of what your needs are, especially if, say, if between extroverts and introverts need, like, quiet self-reflection time. To actually kind of re-energize themselves. So if that's the case for you, that's important, getting that time to not have to talk to anybody and actually just kind of think about and process what your day has been and then prepare for the next part of your day. So I think it's a perfectly reasonable thing. And talk to your wife about it. Say, hey, this is, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to process so I can be the best husband and father that I can be. And how can I get this kind of, if you're okay with it, this break time. And and it's kind of tough because you feel bad. It's like, I'm a horrible person. I want to spend time with my kids, but that's not it at all. It's like, you need that time to recharge yourself so that you can be that really present parent. So that would be my advice. Jack, what's your thoughts?
Well, my situation was a little different because my kids, when they were that age, they were at work with me most of the time. So there was no escape. I mean, I was there. I mean, they would go to school eventually. But when they were younger, you were in school, Jay, but your sister and your younger sister, they came to work with me. Mm-hmm. So then they went to preschool finally and then school. But it was like 10 years of me just not having – there was no decompression time. I picked you up. I went home. I did this. I did that. I did this. Sometimes I went to another job or I did this. But my free time, my release was at like 10 o'clock. I'd go work out. Mm-hmm. At night, I just go work out for an hour, come back. That was how I got away with it. But there's nothing wrong with it. As long as what's wrong with it, the parent that goes, you know what, I can't do this anymore, and just leaves and never comes back.
Yeah,
you're at least you're going there. You need some time to yourself. There was a time when we moved out here, and I had two teenage daughters who were 2 years apart, and we've talked about this a number of times on the podcast. There were times I didn't, my drive is 3 minutes from work. Mm-hmm. So I have a 3 minute drive. There's not a lot. There was times I'd make that drive 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Oh, I'm in traffic. Cause I didn't want it. Cause Jay would send me a note. Hey, it's DEPCON 5 here. You don't want to come home, because those two girls would just fight. Like, it's just like, I don't want to come home to this crap. I don't want to come home. It's just, but eventually you have to come home because you're, you know, you have to be responsible. So you come home, you deal with it, and you just go, oh, my God. My wife could just ignore them. I go, how do you ignore this? Because it was literally craziness. Yeah. It's just like, and then, you know, they're Italian, so they're all fighting and yelling. And I'm just like going, no. Just, oh, my God. There was nowhere to hide. So I'd go outside. It'd be 120 degrees outside. I'd mow the lawn and almost pass out and die. But that's how, you know, like Jay said and Brian said, you have to have some time for yourself. Because you want to be a good parent, you have to be sane. So,
yeah, absolutely. You know. Absolutely.
Amen.
So there's nothing wrong with it. Maybe I wouldn't know if I'd sit in the garage, though. Maybe down, maybe because if.
Like right, said, exactly. Down the street.
If your wife sees you there, she's in there, and if the kids are giving her a hard time, who's she going to take it out on? The kids?
Yeah. No, it's not a safe place. It's
she's going to take it on you. You could say, oh, I stopped to get us ice cream, or I stopped to get anything.
Yeah, to quote James Rebhorn in Independence Day, plausible deniability.
Right.
I can see the movie lover in you. It's great, the movie references that we're getting here.
It's deep, that's what I do.
Deep cuts.
TalkingMoviesPodcast.com.
All right, so we have a couple calls here from old Uncle Larry. So let's see what he has to say.
Hey, married men, this is Larry, and I was just I was reflecting on how I met my wife Wanda the other day, and was just thinking about like. The off chance that, like, my wife died, and what would my life be like on the dating scene? So I was wondering if you could ask your co-host or if you guys had any advice on if, like, potentially I had to get back into the dating scene, how does one in this modern era go about it? I mean, I'm not, like, planning anything or any research. I just am have a morbid curiosity of like, you know, like what if I have to get back in the game? What am I looking at? Is it all online now, or like, can you actually meet people somewhere? Also, I'm wondering like, where'd Jack meet, you know, his wife? Like, was it from Sock Hop or at the malt shop? Yeah, Jay, if you can tell us about like what forum you met Colleen, that'd be great too. All right, I've been Larry. Hey, married men, this is Larry again. I just forgot to say on my last message, Boston sucks, and Batman versus Superman sucks, and The Force Awakens rules. Okay, that's it. Bye.
All right, Larry, thank you for the call.
First, I'm going to say if you're looking to don't go on the internet on your computer and say, how do I get to this while you're still married, dating scene and stuff like that, because if Wanda falls down the stairs,
yeah,
they're going to look at your computer and they're going to think that you pushed her down the stairs. So
yeah, like if you search, if my wife dies, how do I date again? That might be
that's going to look bad. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be on the, what's that, not 2020, but one of those shows at night, and you'll be in an orange jumpsuit. Really, I didn't kill her. And the evidence will be overwhelming against you. I actually met my wife at work, so again, no downtime for me.
Yeah, you nice. You met your wife at work and she already had a kid. Like, you just made horrible decisions.
So, well, you make bad decisions. At least the first ring I bought was good. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
Damn.
No, I need to own that.
I met Colleen. It's a well-known, well, I guess not well-known, but it's on janecall.com, the website, if you want to read the story. But long story short, she did her own podcast, so I knew of her. She listened to my podcast. She knew of me. We didn't really know each other. And a friend, grandfather or great grandfather, no, grandfather technically,
who's younger than me,
who's younger than Jack. So yeah, step grandfather.
Is this an I'm my own grandpa sort of thing?
No, it's like so my grandma remarried a younger man,
a younger man who's younger than my mom married someone younger than me.
Yeah.
So his grandpa is younger than me. But to be fair now, he's aged a lot, so now he looks older than me. which is saying a lot.
So he was a big fan of Colleen's show and was friends with her and kind of set us up because he was visiting. He's like, hey, that Colleen girl's going to be here next weekend. And I thought Colleen was hot by her MySpace profile picture. that I saw. So I was like, oh, she's hot. Tell her to message me. And she did message me, and we met in Raleigh, North Carolina, because she was visiting her friend who went to school at UNC Chapel Hill. And
she was hot, so all was right with the world.
Exactly. It all worked out in the end. But yeah, so that's how we met. And
so it's me now, right?
Yeah, it's you now, yeah.
So,
well, I guess you told your story already. So I guess
no. But he didn't ask about me. He asked about you guys. So,
oh, okay.
I mean, aside from Jack's, you know how browsing history works advice, we didn't really touch on the question.
Mm-hmm.
And my initial reaction is, what the actual fuck? Like, you use the words morbid curiosity. I get that, but like, I don't believe you. And what I mean by that is like that you're listening to a fucking online radio show. What a podcast is, you know enough to download it into your computer or your phone and then call the phone number using a phone to leave a message. You know how the internet works. So you know how online dating works and is a thing. Like, first of all, why the hell would we have any keys to that castle? Like, I mean, we're, you know, what 27 years for you, 8 years for you, 9 years for you, right?
Yeah.
And four for me. Like, that, I have no idea what you, I mean, yes, you go online, you meet people, or you, like, you have human interaction with people at places on the earth that you already go, like, what are you even asking? Like,
well, I think he's asking, you know, if his wife died, like, how would he get back on the dating scene?
How's he going to get laid?
Yeah, how's he going to get laid?
You know, he could be really thirsty.
Okay. Backpage.boston.com. No, I'm kidding. So, it's on the internet, which you may or may not have heard of. I don't know. I mean, did he say "I love my wife" in his voicemail?
I don't remember. I don't recall. "And I love my wife."
Right. I mean, like,
I think he said he puts up with her.
Like, if she died, how would I get on the dating scene? I mean, good luck, I guess. Like, I'm really sorry, Larry. You just didn't inspire any confidence in your message, and I don't know. Look, feelings are feelings and thoughts are thoughts, and you can't really judge people for what pops in your head. But, like, I kind of feel like I'm going to judge you for having that thought. Like, you know, I think that if your wife did die, you should be sentenced to celibacy. Because –
But wait, he's already there. He's married.
Right. So then we'll chop off both your hands.
Oh man!
And then you have to use a vice and a fleshlight and figure it out.
Well, I can't say I have like the inverse, like the I guess inverse fear maybe, but like I there's times like no, I you can't like die or anything because I really don't want to have to try and find somebody else. Like,
sure,
you know what I mean? Like I love you, I'm happy. Like I don't want to have to like try and date again and find somebody else in my life. Like, it's just. That seems really exhausting and daunting and just not worth it. Do you guys feel the same way at times or not?
I haven't really given it a whole lot of thought. I mean, we talk pragmatically a lot about like, again, the getting hit by a bus thing. The other day I was telling her, like, I had, you know, with this new job, I had to re-up on a lot of things and like that, you know, I named her as my beneficiary for my life insurance. And she's like, oh, you did? I didn't do that for you.
Oh.
I'm like, what?
Damn.
What? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I just never really thought about it. I'm like, so wait a second. I just tipped my hand. Oh, man.
Yeah, actually, it's similar for because Colleen, I don't think she has any of those types of things, but my job has like a you can add life insurance for your kids and your wife and you. And I made her
usually it's like a life event though. You can't just be like, it's Tuesday. I'm going to change it. Like you have to.
No. It's like, yeah, you have to either get married or it's that one time a year you can set it up. So I've gotten Colleen set up. So if I die, she's going to be fine. And I even put some life insurance for her just in case. So that way I have things covered if she does pass away, which hopefully never happens. But she hasn't done anything for me, so I'm like, if you die, like, you leave me nothing.
I get nothing.
One, I'll have to start dating again, and two, I'll be poor because I don't have anyway second income.
Poor and alone and trying to figure out how to
Neither here.
So, Larry, I'm sorry, I'm not very helpful, Larry. I don't care about your plight.
What was your thoughts on Batman versus Superman? Hated it or liked it?
I was very surprised that I didn't hate it.
Me too. I actually enjoyed it.
Enjoy is a tough. Again, when I go into something expecting to be one of the worst things I've ever seen, and I don't get any scene or moment where I'm like, "Fuck this movie," you know, then. It was a win, and Man of Steel is a better movie in the sense that it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. I just think that end is stupid and it's horrible, and a lot of the movie is stupid and horrible. But at least it has like a structure. And Batman v Superman, which by the way, every time I say that title, I feel like a piece of me dies. I just like why, but. It's a mess. It doesn't make any sense. But Affleck's so good, and there's a great Batman movie waiting to happen with him in it. And there's moments that are cool, and it struck me by surprise on a couple things. It's not a great movie, but I did not actively hate it. And I think maybe I'm being too hard on it by speaking in the negative, but. I walked out of the theater surprised in a pleasant way, but I also have no desire to see it again.
I could echo similar sentiments. And, you know, I thought Affleck's Batman was great, really enjoyed his time on the screen. And then Wonder Woman I thought was great, too. But Snyder's...
When she's not checking her email, she's pretty awesome.
Yeah. we do have actually an email that just came in hot off the presses. So let's take it away here. Hey, married and soon to be married men. So I was talking to a girl on a dating app and it was going great, but then she suddenly stopped talking. I never said anything weird or forward. In fact, the question I ended was, where do you go to school? Is there anything I can say to get the convo going again? Thoughts. Thanks. Signed, eager fingertips. So talking to a girl on a dating app, so a messaging type app.
I think you need to speak to Larry about that.
And the conversation has gone cold. Brian, I think you're probably the best person to ask. What's a good conversation starter again?
I guess I have a couple. I may come up with an idea or two, but don't bother is my advice. It's over. You're done. You got ghosted. It happens. Whatever. Move on. Like,
but what
the, he also says, like, he didn't say anything forward. Like, he doesn't say that, like, he could have sent a dick pic, and that's not saying anything. You know? Like, I didn't say anything for it. I just showed her my dick. Like, what's the big deal? Where do you go to school? Is it near my dick? You know, like. So, like, was where do you go to school written on his dick? Any of those things are possible.
Well, maybe the problem was only half of it was written on there.
Right. It's like that plan ahead, and like the last part of the sentence is just crammed.
There's not enough room to write the whole sentence. Where do you?
If you keep talking to me, you'll be able to read more of it, I promise. So...
All right, back to the let's get back on track here.
Honestly,
we've all had these, right?
I think.
Jack, you haven't, but in the AIM world,
okay. So what happened? So it's someone's like a mess, you know, like their email account, like something like that.
No, it's like
similar to that.
This is a dating site, so they have like a dating messaging thing, probably.
Oh, so you can talk to just different people, and they can choose to say, "I'm not talking to you anymore."
Yeah, they just ignore you essentially.
You can still send them messages, but eventually they could probably block you, right?
There might be a block button or whatever, but I mean, my advice to you, first of all, work on your acronyms, because EF is, you know, I'm calling you F now. eager fingertips. That just sounds creepy. But you're done. You're done. If she had any interest in you, she would keep talking to you. Mm-hmm. She doesn't, so she didn't. Sure, you could try a couple things, but the best you're going to come off is puppy dog, and more likely creepy, and maybe from no fault of your own. Again, in earnest, you liked her and you want to talk to her. I get it, and I've been there, but. Yeah, you got ghosted, and you know what? It's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. I had a girl I met when, I don't know, it was like 5 years ago or so. It was just this, and I don't want to use the word whirlwind romance because it's not true at all. It was like a 2 day period. I was working in a store. She came in looking for something for herself for her birthday. It was a musical instrument store. And
was it a center connected. Where you could buy guitars?
It was. it was not Ash of Mr. Gamgee. So basically, we exchanged numbers. She then brought me back some food. Like, this is a person I met like an hour ago. She brought me like food, like that was made for her birthday or something like that. And I liked her a lot, and so we're texting for like 2 days straight, and like morning, noon, and night. And basically I said something to the effect of like, hey, you know, if you have something going on this evening, but if you wind up getting out early, like, I'd be up to see you, you know, just let me know. She says, no problem. And those are the last words I ever heard from her. like no. Again, and I wasn't insane. Like, I texted her like once a day. Again, by once I mean like one text a day for like 3 days, and then I'm like, it's all. But it drove me crazy. Couldn't get it. Like, because there were zero dick pics. Like, that did not happen. Like,
that might have been the problem.
Yeah, maybe that was the.
Who knows? Who knows? But like, so what I'm trying to say, EF, is that like I get it. And it's not
is
great.
Okay, so let's pause there. Your style is just keep trying and keep throwing the lines. You play the numbers game eventually.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's your style of play. Yep. So this is continuing that kind of methodology, right?
It is, because you can be as nice as you want and you can talk to as many people as you want, but you can't force interest, obviously. You know, so if she were interested, again, and this isn't like a maybe she lost my number, you know, like sort of she knows how to contact you if she wants to contact you. And if she doesn't, she doesn't. Maybe she went to Canada. I don't know. But like probably not, you know. So I would say to unfortunately reference another website which does not pay for this program, there are plenty of fish in the sea. So I would just say, you know, pack up your bindle and mosey on down the street and say hey to someone else. But because she's not, even if you got in touch with her again, it's not going to end well. So I would say move on.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially on something like a dating site where it's just kind of that first intro conversation. Like if it goes cold, you can just try saying something back, saying hey. Checking in, but I really, especially for girls, like I don't think that is ever gonna just go to the next person and see how it goes, because that's time that's wasted. I think
there's another methodology to this, and I've been guilty of this in the past too. Like where you're at right now, and if you follow my advice, you're never talking to her again. If you send her some messages, the worst thing that happens is that you never talk to her again, which is already the reality that we're in. So only maybe good things can happen if you reach out to her as far as the numbers game is concerned. But like you'd be being that guy. And as I've gotten older, I want to be that guy less. Mm-hmm. So I've been that guy, which is like, I'll spam everyone. You know, okay. Well, one of the, got a big one here. I'm going to reel it in, you know? I was doing phishing stuff, but it's radio, so I'm sorry.
Saw it. I saw it over here on the other end.
Never been fishing in my life. Just, but yeah, I think in the interest of just your sanity and like it's not worth it, because the best thing that's gonna happen is she'll tolerate you texting her, and then you'll get more attached.
Yeah. That's true.
What if, like you said, he breaks off, he says, you know, screw it. Like you're saying, I'm not contacting her. And then maybe she contacts him.
Game on. New ball game.
Yeah.
Extra innings, dude.
But like, I agree with you. If you're going to blow me off like that, I'm not going to beg you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree.
Yeah. No good can come from that for sure. But thank you for the email. I think it's a thing a lot of people face, right? I think a lot of people dating in the dating scene, they kind of face that where things are going great and all of a sudden just that contact call ends and ceases. And
you think the problem with like today though, because
it's very easy to like just stop talking, well, right?
But you could have a conversation. I've seen people on the computer having, you know, their phones, they're having conversations with like 10 people. I mean, maybe she's having different conversations with different people. I don't know how the website works on that certain website he's on. Maybe she has conversations going with 4 or 5 people.
That's adorable, Jack. You think it's a website?
Well, you know, a website, whatever it is, the internet, whatever is going on the thing.
Whatever the kids do these days.
Whatever those darn kids. I mean, it's different when you're one-on-one with somebody.
www.
And you could see someone's face when they ask the wrong question. They just kind of roll their eyes or give that look like, okay, I screwed up. But you can't tell on the computer.
That's true. That you don't. Yeah, you can't tell if you're bombing.
Right.
So I was
on this news group talking to this girl. On a BBS.
Oh man, but anywho, thank
you.
You'll
come across as desperate. So
no. Yeah, it's and again, and chicks, if there's anything that women do not like is if you're acting desperate.
Did you say chicks?
I did. That's bad. I'm not Andrew Dice Clay. I don't know who I am.
You've just joined Russ on the Married Man.
Anyways, I do apologize for that outburst. All right, so it is now time to kind of close out the show with everybody's favorite segment, dating disasters. And we could say we already had the engagement disasters for our friend Brian here, but we actually have a call in from none other than Jacob, who sent in the first call for our first dating disaster segment. Now, Brian, did you hear Jacob's first call?
I didn't.
Well, it's already stuff of legend, even though it's only like four episodes or three episodes.
It's like
ago.
Wow, wow, it floored me.
So basically, there's a girl that he liked. They're both in a drama club, and actually ended up being.
So he's had sex with everyone except for her. Got it.
And
it gets worse.
So he really likes her, and I think she likes him. So they get to be the leads that have a kissing scene. So they practice this kissing. Lots of practice kissing. And when they do like their first show and all the families are there, they realize that they're told they're actually cousins because both families are there. So this person that he really liked ended up being his cousin and, you know, spent a lot of time making out with, practicing for the thing, and kissing in front of everybody. So in school for the
show. And that happy ending, they both moved to West Virginia. So okay.
So again, that's epic disaster. Jacob is called back with another dating disaster to share with us. So we'll go to it right now.
Hey, Jay and Jack, and whoever is the rotating co-host of this episode, it's Jacob. I wanted to call in with another great, wonderful Jacob's breakups. And thank you. I hope you guys liked the Kiss of the Cousin story. It's a fun one to tell. But just to follow up with that, no, it did not traumatize me at all. And people, of course, you know, gave us shit for a long time and still to this day will. But we've always had a good sense of humor about it. She's honestly one of my closest friends still to this day. So that's all good. It's totally fine. After high school, I was seeing a girl who, went also to high school with me, and we had been dating for a while. She went off to college, I went off to college, and, found out about, you know, 5 or 6 months into dating her, that she had been sleeping with someone else, which, you know, is not something you want to happen when you're dating someone. But come to find out, it is a teacher from our high school. So behind my back, on and off, the entire time we were dating, she was boning the teacher from school, which was completely discouraging. So, of course, we had to break up, but one of the first people that I told about this was actually my cousin, the same cousin, kissing cousin, I came clean to her, kind of, you know, just vented all this frustration, like, you know, oh, my girlfriend's been sleeping with this teacher from school, she kind of pauses a little bit, kind of grows pale and wide-eyed, and says, well, that would be my sister's fiance. So there is way more wrong with this than you know. So by some weird twist of fate that I was unaware of, my girlfriend was sleeping with my other cousin's fiance. Same cousin I kissed in high school, just happened to be her sister. So life is weird and dating is a disaster. So that's another good follow-up and... yeah, that's still not the craziest one that's happened, so I hope that you can buckle up for the next one. Enjoy that, and I will talk to you guys soon.
All right, Jacob, thank you for your dating disaster part two. Gentlemen, what were your thoughts there?
How could it get worse?
Well, this is my biggest takeaway is – look at the balls on Jacob. He calls in, tells a great story, calls back and tells what he thinks is maybe a one-upper to that story, then holds back the, you know, the denouement of the whole thing because he knows it's so good that you're going to beg him to come back again. I applaud.
That's pretty crazy. That's a crazy kind of twist of fate there on that one. That's
well, at least he's friends with his cousin, right?
Yeah.
After all that, so is, I wonder if it's friends with benefits, so.
Oh, why? No.
I'm just wondering.
That's rough.
Just like Larry is wondering about his wife kicking the bucket.
Maybe it's the same girl.
Well, at least the guy got his comeuppance there, the high school teacher.
I mean, he didn't quite say that, though. He just like...
No. He said that the his cousin's fiance was dating that girl.
No, not right? No. Cousin's sister's fiance was married to the high school teacher.
Oh, she's married to the high school teacher.
Yeah.
No, was engaged to. So
engaged
like,
to the okay, I got it.
I'm sure it ended in disaster. Right? I'm sure the engagement got broken off. He just didn't say that explicitly.
Yeah.
But there's no way you can hide from your douchebaggery once the fates, the cruel fates of kissing cousins patient zero gets wind of your shenanigans.
Yeah, it must be just Jacob stayed within this small town for too long because it's just the interconnecting
population 7.
There's not much to choose from here
because it's like that's like something you see on Lost, like all the different connections, but just like horrible dating version of Lost, where like everybody's paths and lives just intersect,
everything's crossing over.
But goodness. Jacob, thank you very much. And if you guys want to call in with your dating disasters, you can do so at 510-69-TAFFY or send an email to marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com. And that goes for all of the advice that you guys send in for. You can send in to marriedmanpodcast@gmail.com or you can call in at 510-69-TAFFY, the rotating cast of fantastic guest hosts. And Jack and I will be here to answer those questions for you. Brian, thank you so much for
being on this
week. Oh, my
pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You did a fantastic job. You should be very proud of the work you did today.
Oh, I mean, hey, look, I took a little bit of time away from talkingmoviespodcast.com to be here today. but
nicely done. Nice plug there.
Hey, at least you put that guy Larry in his place.
Larry, if I've offended you, I'm actually not sorry. But know that I want to feel sorry. I don't, but I wish I did.
Ah, screw Larry.
His wife won't. Hello.
Because
she's dead.
I think even though she's alive, that still might be a problem.
Brian, you said you haven't. I don't think you've listened to the other guest host shows yet. But are you taking sides? Are you gonna like pick somebody that you're a rival against, or are you staying away from the fray?
I mean,
the Boston versus Tim. Boston versus V Tim.
I don't know Tim very well, and I do like me some Boston, so I'm Team Boston, man.
Okay, there you go, there you have it. All right. Well, thank you again. Plug again for people that maybe want to listen to Where You Are Elsewhere. What's the website again?
It's talkingmoviespodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at Movies Talking because some horrible human being has been sitting on at Talking Movies since like 2010. You can email us at talkingmovies@talkingcomicbooks.com.
Perfect. Awesome. And you can also check out all of our other podcasts that we do over on The Whole Enchilada. Go to janejack.com. Check out everything there, including how to become a patron. We have over 128 patrons that currently bringing in $760-something that pays the bills and make these shows possible. So thank you to all of them, especially Eckhart, Tack from Tokyo, and Brad from Chicago. Thank you very much. And also check out our Loot Crate campaign promotion we got going on right now. If you go to lootcrate.com/JayandJack, sign up today, get $45 worth of awesome geeky swag for only less than $20 a month. And you can sign up by going over to lootcrate.com/JayandJack. What else? I think we have Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen going on this week. Is Amazing Race done, or is that still going on? Is that still
no? Amazing Race is still on.
Still on. So
Dancing with the Stars is on tonight. So I'm watching that after this episode.
The one with the purple logo is on tonight for our podcast, and much more. We have a binge watch with Jay and Jack, which focuses on Daredevil. If Jack can ever finish. Series,
I still say we do 11-23-63.
I've almost finished Daredevil. You got to finish, complete your commitments.
I never signed up for that.
Brian, did you watch all of Daredevil yet?
I life got in the way. I've got five left. I finished episode 8. And Jack, I've only done the first three of 11-23-63. I'm dying to finish it. So we should talk about that.
There's 13 episodes of Daredevil?
Yeah, 13. Yeah.
Oh my God, I still have 8 more to go.
I know, you got it. What, you stalled? What are you
doing? There's only 8 episodes of 11-23-63.
I know, and we'll do it after we do Daredevil.
There's only 8, and I've already finished. I started watching The Path last night.
Well, why don't you watch Daredevil?
Because I said, I'm going to watch Daredevil. I said, oh, wait a minute, I watched 3 episodes of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and I went, let me see what's on Hulu. I go, everyone keeps talking about The Path.
Yeah.
And that the first episode was pretty good.
Uh-huh. All right. So quit Saul and finish Daredevil.
I like Daredevil. I like it
then
a lot.
Then finish it. So then we'll do that podcast whenever Jack gets around to it. But priorities. He's a big Dancing with the Stars fan, so
I am. That'll be Dancing with the Stars fan.
All right, guys. Again, Brian, thank you so much. And we'll
thank you.
Look forward to having you on again. And chatting and having a good time. And
it'd be my pleasure.
Until then, we'll talk to everybody later. Hasta luego and goodbye.